At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. President Trump is scheduled to visit Dallas later this month for a fundraiser. The Texas Tribune reports money raised during the October 25th event will go toward Trump's presidential campaign and the Republican National Committee. Trump was scheduled to fundraise in Dallas late last month, but that event was canceled. Vivian Castleberry, a pioneer in North Texas journalism, died yesterday after battling breast cancer. She was 95. As KERA's Stella Chavez reports, Castleberry broke barriers during her decades-long career as a journalist and peace activist.
When Vivian Castleberry took over as editor of the Dallas Times-Herald's women's pages in 1956, she wasn't interested in covering what her bosses thought she should cover.
I was working for an all-male management who thought that women were interested only in what women traditionally did. I knew that there were stories out there that were not being covered, and I wanted to hold those stories up to a reading public that was ready for them.
That was Castleberry in an interview with KERA earlier this year. Instead of focusing on food, fashion, and society, she pushed back, including stories in the newspaper about women's rights, child abuse, and depression. KERA's Lee Cullum worked at the Dallas Times-Herald with Castleberry. She said her colleague called herself a bridge between the women of Dallas and the newspaper. Castleberry encouraged women to go to her if they needed to get a message out.
There was a time when Gloria Steinem and others were working and fighting for the second wave of feminism, and Vivian would make sure it was covered. It isn't that it wasn't in the air, it was, but newspapers at that time were very capable of ignoring things that didn't appeal to them. Well, Vivian wouldn't let it be ignored. Into her section would Gloria Steinem go.
Castleberry later would become the first woman appointed to the editorial board of the Dallas Times-Herald. Rena Peterson, who worked at the Dallas Morning News, including as editorial page editor, felt a connection with Castleberry.
Vivian Castleberry and I actually were rivals of a sort because we worked for competing newspapers, but we were also allies because we both believed very strongly in elevating the roles of women in the newsroom and in society.
Peterson called Castleberry a trailblazer, someone who earned the respect of colleagues in the business and people in the community.
In those days, early on in newspapers, women were expected sometimes to make the coffee. And Vivian, I think, helped make the point that they could be expected to get the scoops as well.
Castleberry won several journalism awards for her work. She raised five daughters and juggled work and parenting alongside her husband, Curtis W. Castleberry.
Kurt and I talked long hours about whether or not I could pull this off because I was working at the time when a woman's place was in the home and she was not expected to go out and have a career.
Castleberry was born in the 1920s and grew up in East Texas. Her dad was injured as a soldier during World War I, and that left her mom to take on a lot of the responsibilities at home. Her dad taught her some lessons.
I am the daughter of a World War I veteran who, around our dining room table, would very often say that there are better ways of solving the world's problems than by killing each other.
In 1984, Castleberry retired from the Times-Herald. She became a peace activist. She founded Peacemakers, Inc. and traveled several times to Russia, where she helped lead women's leadership conferences. Cullum says Castleberry's role in bringing attention to international issues was significant.
When the arms race was still hot and well underway, she had a big meeting here in Dallas of women from all over the world to press for peace. And I thought it was very important, maybe the most important thing she did.
Earlier this year, the former journalist turned peacemaker reflected on her life.
I have lived a life that very few people get to live. And I don't have time for regrets, because there are other things still waiting for me to do.
She said her health was winding down and her days were numbered. But Vivian Castleberry said she was living life to the fullest. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
You can see the KERA TV documentary Texas Trailblazer, Vivian Castleberry, at keranews.org. It also airs on KERA TV at 6 p.m. on October 15th. As a kid, Arthur Pena never could have imagined a life where he was part of the art establishment. Now at age 35, he teaches courses at SMU and UNT. He's invited to international art expos and luxury brands like Coach tap him for ad campaigns. In this week's Artist Spotlight, Art and Seek's Hadi Mawagdi learns how painting has affected the artist's life.
For artist Arthur Pena, painting is more than a craft. It's a relationship. The affair began early.
So I grew up in Oak Cliff in a just your average working family house, except that it was full of lots of art supplies from my mother, who's an artist. She's a painter.
Pena's father played sports with them, and his mother encouraged his interest in arts and crafts.
I really didn't know anything beyond Oak Cliff, the block I grew up on, and the schools I was going to. I didn't really know anything beyond that. Definitely didn't know what Dallas was, except that it was a place that can harbor lots of violence.
Pena says his block saw lots of gang activity, but he was shy and sensitive, so he needed a way to vent.
I knew I had to find a way to express myself that was not partying all the time and not, you know, joyriding or something, because those things were definitely happening. And I just started to sort of be this kid who locked himself in his room and started painting.
Painting helped him through college at UNT. It took him to the Midwest to attend the Art Institute of Chicago. And eventually, he earned an MFA from the Rhode Island School of Design. Then he moved back to Texas. He started an arts collective and an underground music label called Vice Palace. And he got notice. It seemed that painting would always be there for him. But at the start of 2016, Pena and painting were on the skids.
I sort of lost a lot of things that felt defined me, you know, jobs, people, situations, and sort of out of nowhere. And I found myself, honestly, just like a broken person.
Pena's work is labor-intensive. Each painting features thousands of one-inch geometric figures, and some pieces take months to finish. But Pena lost the energy for it. He stopped working.
During that time, you feel guilty when you're not making, and you want to, but you can't. And so then it gets wrapped up in this whole other thing, and it just snowballs into this mass of depression and anxiety and guilt.
Then, last fall, Pena began teaching at SMU. He says that it was therapeutic. It allowed him more time in the studio, and having intellectual conversations about art with his students helped snap him out of his depression.
It was like revisiting an old friend, an old lover, or a distant family member who you haven't talked to in a long time or something, somebody you share a lot of memories with.
When he returned to the canvas, Pena felt different.
With this new work, it was very much about composing, doing this dance with the paintings, doing something, stepping back, listening, looking, responding. So the whole way of making a painting started to change because, frankly, I was a different person.
Pena's newer work featured black canvases, painted over with brightly colored shapes. And the human figure began to make appearances.
There's something really wonderful about Arthur, and it's the fact that he does everything with the utmost sincerity.
That's Justine Ludwig. Ludwig's the director of exhibitions and the senior curator at the Dallas Contemporary.
When you see his work, each piece is unbelievably intimate, and you get to sort of see what you see. You can, you know, investigate aspects of your own life within his practice.
Ludwig especially likes how Pena titles his work. He calls his paintings attempts. No work is ever truly complete. Instead, he's continuously trying to complete the perfect work.
I always talk about my paintings and my work and the attempt as this way just to sort of keep up with the day. You know, every day is going to be different. You have no idea what's going to happen. And that's just how I think about painting.
Pena is one of the region's most productive creators. He's painted hundreds of pieces. He runs a music label. He's dabbled in experimental theater. Each project is an attempt at creating something worthwhile. And each attempt strengthens his relationship to art. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Head to artandseek.org to check out Arthur Pena's artwork. For the evening, partly cloudy skies, should be a low around 70. Tomorrow looks to be mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 70. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.